بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سر إخوانكم بمكتبة الواحدين بجزر البحر الكاريبي والولايات المتحدة. نرحب بفضيلة الشيخ سالم بامحة حفظه الله تعالى بواصل شرح أول كتاب مسائل الجاهلية للشيخ الإسلام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى. It's a pleasure of your brothers at Muwahideen for locations in the Caribbean U.S. to have with us once again our noble Sheikh Sarim Bamihaz, may Allah preserve him, who will continue his explanation of the book, Matters of the Days of Ignorance, by Sheikh Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, may Allah have mercy on him. Pray to Fadda Sheikh Anam Ashkur Amin Fidullah.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Salatu wa salamu ala Nabiyyina Muhammad. وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فحيا الله إخواننا مكتب الموحدين، نبت إليهم درس إلى جزر الكاريبي، وحياهم الله في هذه الليلة في درسنا الأسبوعي في شرح كتاب مسائل الجاهلية. وكنا قد توقفنا عند المسألة 42. في هذه المسألة قال الشيخ الإمام المجدد محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى واسكنه فسيح جناته، قال: من مسائل الجاهلية المسألة 42، من 42 الشرك في الملك كقول المجوس. الشرك في الملك بمعنى أنهم أهل الجاهلية الأولى، من هم في جاهليتهم لا يوحدون الله تعالى، بل يجعلون الله أكثر من إله، ويجعلون الملك لهؤلاء الآلهة، فلا يقرون لإله واحد، رب، خالق، مالك، رازق، محيي ومميت، وإنما يجعلون ذلك لآلهة ثم يعبدون هذه الآلهة. فالمجوس هم قوم من بلاد فارس، كانوا يعبدون النيران ويقولون أن هذا الكون له خالقان، إله النور وإله الظلمة، هكذا قالوا قبحهم الله، فجعلوا للكون إلهين، إله النور وإله الظلمة. فإله النور عندهم هو إله الخير، يخلق الخير، وإله الظلمة عندهم هو إله الشر، إله الشر، ولذلك سموا الثانوية، أي اثنين من الآلهة، أنهم اثنين من الآلهة. وكانوا يقولون هؤلاء الآلهة أو الإلهان هما اللذان يخلقان الناس والكون ويتصرفان فيهما كما شاءوا. هذا من جهلهم ومن عقيدتهم الفاسدة، والله تعالى أنكر عليهم ذلك، وقال تعالى: لو كان فيهما آلهة غير الله لفسدتا، يعني السماء والأرض هذه لو لها إله غير الله لفسد كل إله، ذهب بحاجته، اختلف في الأمر، ولكن الله هو واحد أحد، فرد صمد، لا شريك له في خلقه وملكه وتدبيره وأحيائه وإماتته، وهو الذي يعبدون سواه. وكان من ما فاروا عليه هؤلاء المجوس أنهم كانوا يحلون المحارم فينكحون بعضهم البعض، هذا ينكح أمه وهذا ينكح أخته، ولا يتجنبون المحارم، ويشتركون في الزوجات وفي الأموال وفي الملكيات يعني شأنهم شأن النظام الشيوعي، عندهم مثل النظام الاشتراكي الشيوعي الذي عرف في بلاد الشيوعية، الجميع المال مختلط والنساء مختلطات أيضا والرجال في اختلاط وملكية واحدة وشيء من هذا التناقض الباطل. فهذا مذهب من مذاهب الجاهلية باطل مناقض لفطرة، مناقض لخالق الكون الواحد. الفرد الصمد الإله حق، لن يلد ولن يولد ولن يكون له كفوا أحد، فظل هؤلاء القوم. وهكذا أصناف الجاهلية يتعثرون في عقولهم الضالة يوم تركوا دعوة الأنبياء والسير عليها، سجنوا على أنفسهم جنايات عظيمة، والله المستعان. نعم
Our Shaykh Habibullah Ta'ala began by mentioning the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful, praising Him, who is the Lord of everything in existence, and invoking His presence and peace upon our beloved Master Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then said that we greet all of our noble brothers and listeners from Muwahideen Publications, and we have reached with them in our weekly class of the book Musa'il al-Jahiliya, or Matters of the Days of Ignorance, the 42nd matter, in which the author of the treatise, Sheikh Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, the Imam and Revival Scholar, may Allah place him in the vast gardens of paradise, said that the 42nd of the traits of the people of Jahiliyyah is their shirk in the dominion, like the statement of the Majians, or the adherents of Mazdaism, the Majus. What is meant by them committing shirk when it comes to the dominion is that the people of Jahiliyyah would not single out Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, declaring that He is the only deity. Rather, they had different deities, they had different gods, and they didn't believe in one single deity, one single Lord, one single creator, one single king of all of the universe. Rather, they had different deities, and they claimed that they shared the power of the universe. And based on that, they would worship these different deities. This was the belief of the Majus. The Majus are the people from Persia. And they were fire worshippers. And they said that there were two creators in the existence. That there was a creator of light and a creator of darkness. And they said that the creator of light was the creator of good, the good deity. And the creator of darkness was the bad deity. And thus they were called the, if you will, the dualists, because they had two gods that they worshipped. And they said that these two deities created people, and they created the universe, and they were the ones who disposed of the affairs of the universe as they wished. May Allah curse them for that despicable belief. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself refuted this belief when He said, وَكَانَ فِيهِمَا آلِهَةٌ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَفَسَرَتَا. If there were in it, in the dominion, in existence, deities other than Allah, it would have become corrupt. Why? Because they would have fought for power. They would have differed with one another. And so, the dominion, the creation, the heavens and the earth would have become corrupt. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only creator and sustainer and king of the universe. He is one. He is eternal. He is the one, the only one, who creates, the only one who sustains, the only one who gives life, causes death. And the Majus, who held the belief contrary to this, had a terrible way of life. They used to claim the permissibility of doing what is known by human instinct to be wrong. They would marry their own mothers. They would marry their own sisters. They would share wives, wives swapping. And this is what is closest to the communist way of life, where they say that there's no one owns wealth, that it's all shared, that we all share it all together. And so nobody can have their own wealth. Nobody can even have their own wife. We have to share everything, and we can't be greedy. And this way of thinking is in total contradiction to human nature. The nature of the human being doesn't accept this. Everyone likes to have their own possessions. And so this way of thinking is ignorant. This way of thinking is false, and it is totally in contradiction to human nature, totally in contradiction to the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created this universe. And so those people went far astray because of their false ideas, and they failed to worship their one and only creator, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Publish it.
ثم قال الشيخ الإمام رحمه الله تعالى المسألة 43 قال جحود القدر أي أن الجاهليات الأولى كانوا يجحدون القدر والقدر هو علم الله بالأشياء وتقديرها قبل أن توجد اللوح المحفوظ ثم خلقها فالله سبحانه وتعالى جعل القدر من أركان الإيمان فالإيمان أركانه 6 هي أن تؤمن بالله وملائكته وكتبه ورسله واليوم الآخر وتؤمن بالقدر خيره وشره من الله تعالى ولذلك قال تعالى إن كل شيء خلقناه بقدر إذن القدر هو تقدير الله تعالى للأشياء والله تعالى سبحانه علم بالأشياء قبل أن تكون 50,000 عندما أراد الله تعالى أن يخلق هذه الأشياء قبل أن يخلقها قال للقلم اكتب قال القلم ما اكتب يا رب قال اكتب اقدار الامور قبل ان تكون في ذلك الزمان 50,000 فجرى القلم باذن من الله تعالى بكن ويكون وكتب اقدار الكون قبل ان توجد 50,000 إلى نهايتها فجعل ذلك مكتوب في اللوح المحفوظ وهذا القدر قد علمه الله تعالى قبل أن يكتب ثم أمر القلم أن يكتب فكتب ثم أن الله تعالى بعد ذلك أنزل مشيئته وخلقه للأمور فقدر الأمور بمشيئته وإرادته سبحانه وتعالى وخلق جميع المخلوقات وأفعالهم وهذا موجود في القرآن يقول الله تعالى ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير هذه آيات جلية واضحة ما أصاب من مصيبة يعني كل شيء في الأرض وفي الناس هذا علمه الله تعالى قبل أن يكون 50,000 ثم أمر بكتابته قال قبل أن نبرأها أي قبل خلقها إن ذلك على رب على الله يسير أي علم الله وأمر بكتابته ثم بعد ذلك أنشأ وأراد وخلق سبحانه وتعالى إذن كل شيء قد علمه الله تعالى وما من شيء يصير في الكون إلا بإذن الله قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام كما في الحديث الصحيح عند الإمام أحمد أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال واعلم أن ما أصابك لم يكن ليخطئك وما أخطأك لم يكن ليصيبك رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف فلا يكون شيء في الكون إلا بمشيئة الله تعالى ولا يحصل شيء إلا والله خالقه قال تعالى الله خالق كل شيء خلق الخير، خلق الشر، قدر الخير، قدر الشر، وهذه يقال لها مراتب القدر، مراتب القدر. نعم تفضل.
The next issue in the text is the 43rd matter, which is that the people of Jahiliyyah would deny Allah's Qadr, His divine decree. In the days of pre-Islamic ignorance, the people would deny Allah's Qadr. This is the fact that He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, knew everything that ever would exist before He brought it into existence. And not only did He know everything that would exist and would come to pass, but He also wrote that down in Lawh al-Mahfuz, He preserved tablets. Then, after writing it down, He brought it into creation. Well, subhanahu wa ta'ala has made belief in Al-Qadr, the divine decree, one of the pillars of Iman. There are six pillars of Iman. The one who believes must accept these six things. They are believing in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, the day of the resurrection, and the divine decree, the good and the bad thereof. Azza wa Jalla says, "Inna kulla shayin khalaqnahu biqadr." Indeed, everything we have created, qadr. Allah knew absolutely everything before anything ever existed. 50,000 years before He created anything, He knew absolutely everything that was ever going to happen up until the end of time. Before He created these things, before He created the heavens and the earth, human beings, anything, before anything was in existence, 50,000 years before anything was in existence, He created a pen. Then He said to that pen, write. The pen said, "Oh my Lord, what shall I write?" He said, "Write everything that will be up until the end of time." And thus it was. Allah said, "Be," and it was. Allah created the pen, and the pen wrote down everything that would happen until the end of time. And this was written down in Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything that would happen before anything ever happened. He decreed that the pen would write down minute details of all of this. Then He sent down subhanahu wa ta'ala His will and His creation, bringing everything into existence with its prescribed proportions, making everything happen at the time that He wrote that it would happen, and bringing everything into existence in the exact fashion and proportion that He had decreed for it to exist. Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا أَصَّابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ. Never does any catastrophe take place on earth or within yourselves except that it was written down in a book before we ever caused it to take place. Indeed, that for Allah is something easy. So everything to take place on earth, the hardships, the catastrophes, the smallest details of everything that were ever to happen, were known to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before they ever happened. And He commanded them to be written down before they ever happened, before He ever created these things. And this is something not difficult for Allah. This is something easy for Him. After He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, commanded that the details of everything be written down, He then willed for things to happen and brought them into creation. So nothing ever happens except with His knowledge and by His permission, subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in Muslim Imam Ahmed and in Sahih, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Know that whatever missed you was never meant to hit you, and whatever hit you was never meant to miss you. The pens have been lifted and the ink has dried." So, nothing ever exists in this creation except by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything that exists is part of the creation of Allah. What He knew would happen and what He allowed to happen, what He caused to happen. He is the creator of absolutely everything, subhanahu wa ta'ala, as He says, "Allahu khaliqu kulli shay." Allah is the creator of everything. And so He created all everything, the good and the bad. And He made a specific proportion for absolutely all of that. Allah Shaykh.
قال الشيخ بعد ذلك رحمه الله تعالى وإضافة لما قلنا نقبل أن مراتب القدر مراتب الإيمان بالقدر أربعة أمور. الأمر الأول هو الإيمان بأن الله علم كل شيء، قال تعالى إن الله بكل شيء عليم، فالله علم بكل شيء قبل أن يكون، هذه المرتبة الأولى. مرتبة الثانية إن الله كتب كل شيء في اللوح المحفوظ، مثل ما جاء في الآية ما أصاب من مصيبة إلا لا في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأ. الأمر الثالث الإيمان بأن الله شاء كل شيء يقع في هذا الكون، يعني لا شيء يقع في الكون إلا بمشيئته، فلا يقع شيء إلا بمشيئة الله تعالى. قال تعالى وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله، يعني الإنسان ليس له مشيئة إلا بعد مشيئة الله، فالله إذا شاء يشاء الإنسان بعد ذلك. الرابع المرتبة الرابعة الإيمان بأن الله خالق كل شيء وهو على كل شيء وكيل، الله خلق العباد وخلق أفعال العباد، قال تعالى والله خلقكم وما تعملون، أي خلقكم وأعمالكم أيضا خلقها الله تعالى. إذن هذه الأمور مترابطة، علم أزلي ثم كتابة ثم مشيئة الله تعالى المطلقة، المشيئة والإرادة القدرية والشرعية، ثم الخلق، والله خلق كل شيء وبإرادته يفعل كل إنسان الإرادة، فالله تعالى جعل هناك إرادة شرعية، أي أمرنا بأوامر إذا فعلناها رضي الله تعالى بأفعالنا وأحبنا، وهذا يسمى الإرادة الشرعية، والإنسان مخير أن يفعلها أو لا يفعلها، فإذا فعل الخير الذي أمره الله وافق الإرادة الكونية، لأن لا شيء يكون إلا أراده الله قبل أن يكون، وإذا خالف الإرادة الشرعية خالف وقع الإرادة الكونية، أي أن الله قدر أن لا يفعل، بمعنى علم الله أنه لن يفعل وقدر ذلك، والذي فعل علم الله أنه سيفعل وقدر ذلك. فالإرادة الشرعية مخير الإنسان فيها، وهي يحبها الله يحب فعلها ويعذب على تركها، فمن فعل الإرادة الشرعية أصاب الإرادة الكونية، ومن ترك الإرادة الشرعية أيضا أصاب الإرادة الكونية، فأفعال العباد ومشيئتهم من مشيئة الله تعالى. وأهل الجاهلية ينكرون القدر، ذكر الله تعالى عنهم أمور فيها إنكار القدر، قال تعالى سيقول الذين كفروا سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء، وقال تعالى وقال الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما عبدنا من دونه من شيء، نحن ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من دونه من شيء، وقال تعالى وقالوا لو شاء الرحمن ما عبدناهم، أي ما عبدنا الأصنام. هذا الكلام يقصدون به أنهم ينفون القدر، يقول لو كان الله لو كان الله مشيئة ما تركنا نعمل هذه الأشياء ونعبد الأصنام ونعبد الحجارة، لكن الله ليس له مشيئة، ينفون القدر وأضافوا هذه الأفعال إلى أنفسهم أنهم يفعلونها بمشيئات خاصة وأن ما هناك مشيئة لله تعالى، وهؤلاء نفاة القدر من جاهليات الأولى، ومثلهم المعتزلة الذين أيضا ينفون القدر، وهذا قول باطل، هذا قول باطل وعليه ردود. نعم
عليك. In addition to what was previously mentioned, we must say about the Qadr that there are four levels to belief in the Qadr. The first is believing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew everything that would happen before it ever happened. Quran says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. Indeed, Allah knows absolutely everything. The second of the levels in the belief in Qadr is that Allah wrote down everything before it happened. He wrote it down in the Lawh al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet, as in the aforementioned ayah, مَا أَصَابَ مِنْ مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ نَبْرَأَهَا. Never does a catastrophe take place on earth or within yourselves except that it was in a book written down for us. The third level of the belief in the Qadr is that Allah willed for everything to happen, that nothing ever happens except that He wills for it to happen. Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءُ اللَّهُ. Never do you will except that Allah first wills. So Allah does give us free will, and we have the choice, but we can only choose what He allows us to choose. Never does our will overcome His. The fact is that His will is what allows us to make choices. The fourth and final of the levels in the belief in Qadr is that Allah created everything. He created His servants, and He created their actions. Surah says, وَاللَّهُ خَلَقَكُمْ وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ. Allah creates you and what you do. So all of these four things, the belief in Allah's knowledge and His writing, His will and His creation, everything to exist, all of these are they're intertwined. And they all support one another, showing that Allah is the creator of everything. And with this, we have a complete picture of what it means to believe in Allah's Qadr. It is by Allah's will, by what He wants, that everyone chooses to do what they do. And Allah has what is known as an irada, or a desire, a wish for something to happen. And this is of two types. He wants for some things to happen in a sharia sense. He wants for people to do what He has revealed for them to do. And He also has an irada, or a will, what He wants to happen in a natural sense. So He has these spiritual laws and natural laws. Everything that ever happens agrees with His natural laws. And then some people have the choice. They have the choice to do. Nothing can ever escape the realm of Allah's natural laws. Everything that happens is because He has allowed them to happen. This is Allah's irada kawniyah, or His natural laws. His spiritual laws, His irada shar'iyah, the people do have a choice on whether or not to obey them. So people can do other than what Allah wants for them to do in a religious sense. But even when they disobey that, they're still obeying His natural laws and doing what He already wrote down for them to do. The people of Jahiliyyah would deny this concept. They would deny the concept of Qadr, that Allah had already destined and written down and prescribed for people to do what they do. As Allah says, سيقول الذين أشركوا لو شاء الله ما أشركنا ولا آباؤنا ولا حرمنا من شيء. The people who committed shirk will say, if Allah had willed, we would not have committed shirk, nor would our forefathers, and we would not have prohibited anything. So they were saying, what? We're only committing these sins because Allah allowed for us to do it. So they were essentially denying the fact that they have free will. They do have the choice to do what Allah wants, but they're choosing not to. They're saying this is because Allah has already willed it. Saying that basically they have no choice in the matter, that Allah is forcing us to do these sins that we do. Allah says about them, وَقَالُوا لَوْ شَاءَ الرَّحْمَنُ مَا عَبَدْنَاهُمْ. And they said, had Ar-Rahman willed, we would not have worshipped them, meaning the idols. We would not have worshipped the idols if Allah had willed. So again, they were denying the Mashi'a of Allah, or Allah's will. And they were affirming their own Mashi'a, or their own will. So they were saying that they can choose what they want, but Allah cannot. And so the Mu'tazila followed in their footsteps in this deviant belief, and this is without doubt a false belief and statement. Fadhal Shaykh.
ثم أن الشيخ إمام أدى عليه في المسألة التالية المسألة الرابعة والأربعون ذكر فيها
أدلة الاحتجاج على الله بهذه الاحتجاجات الباطلة، احتجاج عن الجاهلية بأن الله لا يعلم من الأبدان شيء، وهذا قول باطل. احتجاج على الله بالقدر وأنهم محظورون بكفرهم ومعاصيهم لأن القدر ذلك عليهم، هذا كلام باطل لا يجوز. الله جل وعلا ما ترك لهم حجة، بل إنه أعطاهم الاختيار وأعطاهم القدرة. الله خلق خير وخلق شر وجعل لك مشيئة، إن شئت تختار الخير أعانك الله وأقدرك عليه، وإن شئت تختار الشر أعانك الله وأقدرك عليه. ثم أرسل رسل وحذر، قال هذا كفر، هذا شر، هذا خير، هذا ما أرسلنا، هذا ما النار، افعلوا كذا، لا تفعلوا كذا. ثم الله أعطانا القدرة على أن نفعل خير أو نفعل شر. والله تعالى يقول ولا يرضى لعبادي، الله تعالى لا يرضى لنا أن نفعل الشر ويرضى لنا أن نفعل الخير، وقدرنا على هذا وقدرنا على هذا. الإنسان في إرادته التي خلقها الله تعالى هو الذي يفعل هذا يفعل هذا، لأن المشيئة من الله تعالى. وذلك من يعني صار على طريق الخير وفعله فإنه يعينه الله تعالى على ذلك، ومن صار على طريق الشر وفعله قدره الله تعالى وعانه على ذلك. ولذلك يقول الله تعالى إن سعيكم لشتى ألا من أعطى واتقى، انظر واتقى وصدق بالحسنى فسيسره اليسرى، الله ييسر له. وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب بالحسنى فسيسره اليسرى. الله تعالى إذا اخترت الشر وأردت ذلك خالفت مشيئة الله تعالى القدرية المشيئة الشرعية، وأردت أن تفعل الشر عنك الله على ذلك
وجعل لك جهد وقدر على ذلك. وإن اخترت طريق الخير ووضعت الإدارة الإرادة الشرعية واستجبت للرسل فعانك على ذلك. ولذلك الله تعالى أرسل الرسل وبين طريق الخير وطريق الشر، ومن عمل صالحا فلنفسه ومن عمل شرا فلنفسه، هكذا. والله تعالى جعل لنا عقل وفهم وإرادة وعان على ذلك. ولذلك الله تعالى لا يحاسب المجنون ولا المعتوه ولا المكره ولا النايم، لا يؤاخذهم الله تعالى لأن هذا فقط عقله، لكن يؤاخذ من كان عنده عقل ويعلم وقد علمه الله هذا الشر وهذا خير، ففعل الشر حاسبه الله، ومن فعل الشر الخير أثابه الله. والله تعالى أقام الحجة على البشر في الكون وقيم لهم بواسطة الرسل. لذلك يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في الحديث الصحيح المؤمن القوي خير من المؤمن الضعيف في كل الخير. ثم قال صلى الله عليه وسلم مبينا ما ينبغي على المسلم، احرص على ما ينفعك واستعن بالله، استعن بالله في العمل، يعني احرص على ما ينفعك من مواثر الشر واستعن بالله، فإن أصابك بعد ذلك ضر فلا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا لكان كذا، ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل، فإن لو تفتح عمل الشيطان. إذن أنت أعمل بالأسباب الشرعية التي شرعها، استعن بالله وعمل الخير، فإن حصل لك قدر هذا غير مصيبة لكن شيء قدره الله تعالى، فهذا القدر تحتجري تقول هذا قدر الله، يعني مرضت مات ابنك فأنت عزيز لك، صار لك حريقة، قدر الله تعالى هذا مصائب يعني بمعنى أقدار. لكن تزني، تسرق، تشرب الخمر، تفعل المنكر، تقول قدر الله، هذا غير صحيح. الله تعالى ما قدر هذا، يعني ما قدره شرعا، لكن قدره قولا، وبين لك الله أن هذا لا يجوز. فلا تفعل المعصية وتحتج بالقدر، ولكن إذا نزلت بك الأقدار التي ليس لك قدرة عليها، قل قدر الله وما شاء فعل. ومع ذلك اجتنب المنكرات وعمل بالصالحات. فهذا الذي ينبغي أن يقول عن المسلم، والذي خالفه أهل الجاهليات الأولى بشتى أصنافهم. نسأل الله تعالى السلامة والعافية. نعم.
So this, the aforementioned false belief of the people of Jahiliyyah, something that the author was refuted. So he said in the 44th matter that they, the people of Jahiliyyah, would use this, would use the concept of qadr as an argument against Allah. So the people of Jahiliyyah would do this. They would only use the belief in qadr when it suited their desires to justify their sins. When they did something despicable and immoral, they would say, I didn't have any choice in the matter. Allah forced me to. It was Allah's qadr. That's the argument that they would use against Allah to try to justify their own sins and immoral behavior. The fact is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not force anyone to do, to commit sins. Rather, He has given them the ability to choose good or bad. So, and He has clarified by sending the messengers to teach the people what good and bad are. So, the burden of proof is upon everyone. Allah has clarified what is good and what is bad. He has forced no one to do good. He has forced no one to do bad. He has given everyone the equal opportunity to choose for themselves good or bad. So, everyone is called to account because of their own decisions. Allah does not force anyone to do what He is not pleased with. Allah says, وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِهِ الْكُفْرِ. Allah is not pleased disbelief for His servants. Rather, it is the servants who choose disbelief themselves. He does not force them to be guilty of this. He has shown them the good and the bad, and whoever chooses the path of good shall be rewarded. Whoever chooses the path of evil shall be called to account for his own choice. And also, the people, because of the choices that they make, Allah will aid them in those choices. Whoever chooses and sets out and walks upon the path of good, then Allah makes it easier for him to continue on that path of good. And whoever chooses for himself a path of evil, then Allah opens the doors for him to continue walking on that path of evil. So Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى سَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. As for him who gives and shares and fears Allah and is dutiful to Allah and believes in the best, in the reward of Allah, will make it easy for him to achieve the best. فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى. And as for him who is a cheapskate and considers himself self-sufficient. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى. And belies that which is best, the reward of Allah. فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. We will make easy for him to do what is evil. We will make easy for him. We will allow him, open the doors for him to do the evil that he himself has chosen, to walk upon that path that he himself has chosen. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a will and a desire which is shar'iyyah, and a different will and desire which is kawniyyah. So one is a religious will, what he wants from the people to do, and the other is the natural will, what he allows to take place in his creation. Whoever does what Allah wants will be rewarded, and whoever does other than that, because of his own free will, because he is given the choice, choose or not, then that punishment is for him because of his own choice, not because he was forced. Allah doesn't force anyone to do what is displeasing to him. Rather, he sent his messengers, his prophets and messengers, to inform the people and educate the people about the path of good and the path of evil. And then, whichever one they choose is up to them. And they will have to bear the consequences of the choice they make for themselves. So, whoever has intellect would choose the path of good. But whoever does not have intellect would not be called to account. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not punish people because of their lack of intellect. For example, an insane person who doesn't have any choice in the decisions that he makes because he's not, you know, his mental faculties are not there. Allah doesn't punish such a person for their actions, even if they do bad things. Because they didn't make the choice. They didn't have the intellect to make good and bad choices. Also, a person who is forced. Sometimes people may be forced to commit a sin. Allah does not punish a person for doing that because they didn't have a choice in the matter. Also, a sleeping person. A person who's asleep. They're not making choices. They've lost their consciousness. So Allah doesn't punish a person, for example, if they don't pray. Allah doesn't punish a person because they slept through prayer, because they didn't have a choice. They were sleeping. And so Allah doesn't punish people who don't have their intellect. He punishes people for the choices that they make, the bad choices that they knowingly make, choose for themselves. And never can a person use the qadr of Allah to justify the sins that they choose. Because Allah doesn't force them to commit sins. He allows them to choose to commit sins. So if they choose to commit sins, then the consequences they will have to bear. Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith sahih, the strong believer is better and more beloved to Allah than the weak believer. But in both, there is good. In both the strong believer and the weak believer, there is good. Even though the strong believer is better. And the strength here is referring to the strength of iman, not physical strength of muscles. He then says, work hard for what is of benefit to you and seek the help of Allah and don't be lazy. And if something happens to you, if some catastrophe, something unexpected, some bad thing happens to you while you're working hard to do what is good, something unexpected and bad happens to you, do not say, if I had did such and such, then such and such would not have happened. Rather, say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ وَمَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. This is what Allah has decreed. And whatever He wills, He does. And so, Prophet ﷺ, and then he went on to say, because saying if, is making up these hypothetical situations, if such and such would have happened, then such and such would not have taken place. Saying if in this fashion opens the door for shaitan. You have chosen good for yourself. You're working the hardest that you possibly can to do what is good, to do what is pleasing to Allah. If something comes up and your plan doesn't work out, that's when you say, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. That's when you affirm the belief in Qadr. Never do you go out and choose to do something bad and bring about bad for yourself and then try to justify it with Allah's Qadr. It's not common sense, nor is it in agreement with the principles of the religion. But if some catastrophe takes place to you, and you have done everything that you can trying to do good, but bad comes about, you've done your very best, that's when you resort to saying, this is what Allah has decreed. Never does a person go and choose, for example, to drink alcohol and say, well, this is what Allah has decreed for me, you know. No, you chose to do that. It's not something that was out of your power. You chose to make that decision. And so a person should never commit a sin and try to justify it with the qadr. We only resort to belief in qadr when it comes to the choices that Allah makes, not the choices that we make. So this is part of what the attitude of the people of Jahiliyyah was when it came to the belief in qadr, using it as a means, an argument to justify their own sins. We ask Allah to protect us from that. Publish it.
هنا قرر الشيخ الإمام محمد بن عبد الوهاب رحمه الله تعالى مسألة، قال المسألة الخامسة والأربعون، قال معارضة شر الله بقدره. هؤلاء الجاهلية يقولون هناك تعارض بين الشرع وبين القدر، وهذا من جهلهم، فلا تعارض بين القدر وبين الشرع. يقولون ان هناك من يعارضون شرع الله بقدره، ويقولون كيف يقدر الله الكفر والايمان ثم يشرع عباده الشرائع والاوامر ويقول افعلوا هذا ولا تفعلوا هذا، مع انها اذا لا فائده من هذه، اذا كانت مقدره مقضيه محتوم علينا اذا ما في داعي يقول هؤلاء. فهذا من جهلهم، وهذه من اخطر مسائل الجاهليه، ويتبع كل مسألة من هذه المسائل مسائل أخرى تستمر بنفي القدر بالشرع ومعارضته، وهذا مذهب باطل، لا معارضة بين الشرع والقدر أبدا. الله قدر الشرك والمعاصي والكفر ونهى عن ذلك، وشرع الإيمان والاستقامة والصلاح، ولا معارضة بينهما، لأن العباد هم الذين يفعلون هذه الأفعال باختيارهم وإرادتهم ومشيئتهم التي يقدرهم عليها الله، فالفعل منسوب إليهم، ولذلك يعاتبون على المعاصي ويثابون على الطاعات، وإن كانت مقدرة من الله تقديرا فإنهم إنما يجازون على أفعالهم لا على القدر. ولما بين النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لأصحابه وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم ما منكم من أحد إلا ومقعده معلوم من الجنة أو النار، يعني مقدر قدره الله تعالى. قال يا رسول الله إذا نتكل على كتابنا ونترك العمل، قال صلى الله عليه وسلم اعملوا فكل ميسر لما خلق له، يعني الله تعالى لما كتب فلان أنه في النار لأن الله قد علم أجلا أنه سيفعل كذا وكذا وكذا يكون مال النار، ولما قدر فلان أنه في الجنة لأن الله علم مسبقا، لأن الله عنده علم مسبق بالأمور أجل، فعلم أن فلان كذا وكذا وكذا يكون معنا إلى الجنة. فالإنسان ما يعلم، إذا ماذا عليه؟ عليك أن تعمل بأوامر الله والنواهي، تترك المنهي عنها. ولذلك ما ذكرنا في الآية الماضية أنزل الله هذه السورة الآية، فأما من أعطى واتقى وصدق بالحسنى سار على ما يسر له فسنيسر للسرى، وأما من بخل واستغنى وكذب الحسنى يسر الأسرى. فالعبد يعمل من جانبه الخير ويتجنب الشر، وأما القدر فهو سر الله تعالى لا تبحث فيه، لأنه لا يعينك، لأنه لا يعنيك، هذا لا يعنيك أنت، ولن تصل النتيجة. وفي النهاية نجد أن هذا المسائل، مسائل الشرع والقدر، أن الناس في القدر مع الشرع انقسموا إلى أربعة أقسام. القسم الأول من يثبت القدر، يقول القدر موجود وينفي الشرع، يقول ما في شرع، يثبتون القدر وينفون الشرع، وهؤلاء هم الجبرية فرقة ضالة. الاسم الثاني يثبتون الشرع، يقولوا نعم الشرع موجود، أي يعني قدر الله الشرعي موجود، ولكن ينفون القدر، يقول ما هناك قدر، ينفون القدر، وهؤلاء هم القدرية وهم الضلال. القسم الثاني من يثبت الشرع والقدر، يقولوا الشرع موجود والقدر موجود، لكن بينهم تعارض، بينهم تناقض، حاشا لا أن يكون تناقض، هؤلاء هم أهل الشرك أهل الكفر. وهناك قسم رابع من يثبت الشرع ويثبت القدر، من يثبت الشرع والقدر وينفي عنهما التعارض، انظر هذا ينفي التعارض. الثالث يثبته لكن قال ايش في تعارض. الرابع يقول لا تعارض، ينفون يثبتون الشرع ويثبتون القدر، يقول لا تعارض بينهم، وهؤلاء هم أهل السنة والجماعة، نسأل الله أن يجعلنا منهم. بارك الله فيكم وأحسن الله عليكم وفضل الله وإياكم واللقاء الأسبوع القادم إن شاء الله. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
حياكم الله.
ونعتذر عن الدرس الفاتح. بارك الله فيك الآن جزاك الله خير.
الله ما فيك الله يبارك فيك.
واصل الدرس.
طيب
حياكم الله بارك الله فيكم. السلام عليكم.
السلام عليكم. في شكل إمام محمد بن عبد الله رضي الله عنه ينتهي إلى النشير في 45 شمارة من دمارس الجاهلية which is that the people in Jahiliya would object to Allah's legislation based on his qada. So they said Jahiliya that there was some contradiction. They said that there was some contradiction between the religion and Allah's qada. So there's some contradiction between what Allah has commanded us to do in the religion and what He has written down for us to do through His qada. This is because of their ignorance. So they would say, how could Allah possibly decree kufr and iman? How could He decree for some people to be believers and others to be disbelievers? And they said, if the affairs are already written down, then how can He command us to do so? He has already written who's going to be a believer, who's going to be a disbeliever. And then He commands us to believe. It's as if we have no choice in the matter. So there's a contradiction between Allah's decree and His commandment. And this is one of the most dangerous of the matters of Jahiliyyah. And behind it, there are many other sins and matters of evil that come as a result of this claiming there to be some contradiction between what Allah has decreed and what He, subhanahu wa ta'ala, has commanded. This methodology is indeed a false methodology, as there is no contradiction between Allah's commandment and Allah's decree. There's absolutely no contradiction. The servants are the ones who choose for themselves their own deeds, good or bad. And so, these deeds are to be attributed to them, not to Allah, even though He is the one who allows them to choose. And so they are the ones who are punished for their own choices, which are bad, and rewarded for their own choices, which are good. When the Prophet ﷺ explained this to his companions, saying that there is none of you except that his place in Jannah or Jahannam has already been written down for him. He's got a seat with his name written on it. There's a place in Jannah that's already been written for each person. None of you, there's no one of you, except that his place, Jannah or Jahannam, has already been written down and prescribed for him. The Sahaba said, then, shall we just rely upon what has been written down for us and not force, work, not do any deeds, not exert ourselves in trying to get to Jannah? He said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, work, for everyone will find it easy to do what He was created for. So those whom Allah created for Jannah find it easy to do the deeds of the people of Jannah. Those whom Allah through His wisdom created for the hellfire will find it easy to do the deeds of the people of the hellfire. Allah decided and wrote down so and so, such person would be in the paradise, and therefore made it easy for him to do the deeds of the people of paradise and vice versa with the people of the hellfire. We never know the outcome. We will never know until we meet Allah Azza wa Jal which one of these is written down for us. What we should try to do is strive to work our hardest to do what is good, seeking paradise. Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى. As for him who gives, when he gives charity, and is dutiful to and fearful of Allah, and believes in that which is best, we will make it easy for him to do what is best. وَأَمَّا مَنْ بَخِلَ وَاسْتَغْنَى وَكَذَّبَ بِالْحُسْنَى فَسَنُيَسِّرُهُ لِلْعُسْرَى. As for him who belies and is stingy, and belies in that which is best, we will make it easy for him to do that which is worse. And so, the Qadr, Allah's divine decree, is His secret in His creation. We're never to try to get the results, this secret, during this life. We'll never know the end results of the Day of Judgment. So never are we to go searching after the answers to this qadr. Because we'll never know the results till the day of the rewards. There are four categories of people when it comes to belief in the qadr. There are those who entirely affirm the qadr, and they say that there's no legislation. These are basically what are known as Jabriyyah. They say that everyone is forced to do the deeds that they do, and they have no free will, they have no choice. They are forced to do their deeds. This is Jabriyyah. It's a false methodology. And the second are those who uphold and say that there is a religious commandment, but they say there is no predestination. So they say that people have unrestricted free will. They can do absolutely whatever they want, and Allah doesn't have any way of determining or knowing before they make their choices what they're going to do. These people are the Qadariyya. Basically, they are the ones who reject Qadr. They are the ones who say that Allah didn't already know what people are going to do before they did. The third group of people are those who say that there is both Qadr and Shara. There is both a commandment and a predestination, but there is between them some contradiction. And these are the people of Shirk, people who were previously mentioned as the people of Shirk. And the fourth group are those who say that both the commandment and the decree exist, and there is no contradiction between them. And these are Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from amongst them. InshaAllah, we'll continue our class next week. Allah knows best. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Barakah.